Amen. That was the cry of the psalmist David, you know, that I delight in you, Lord. And that was always on David's heart, you know, to cry out to God, reach out to God and just let God touch him and bring him into that place of worship. And so it's always good to be reminded just how close we need to be to God. We're reminded of that again this morning, but it's good. But so, Lord, we just come together again tonight around your word. Father God, we just pray for your blessing upon us, Lord, that you might lead us and guide us in all our comings and goings, Lord. And as we just come before you this night, Lord, we just pray, Father God, Lord, for this word that you've laid on my heart, Father, Lord, that we might use it, Lord, for your glory. Amen. Amen. I suppose the command of, you'll have me out the footpath soon, outdoor preaching. the command of Jesus telling us to go into the entire world and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And those words of Jesus, I feel like they become more relevant than ever, aren't they? As the world population, the exploding population across the whole entire world. So there's more people to reach, isn't it? So we don't have any excuse that the world is evangelized because it's not, because it's expanding at such an alarming rate, you know, and keeping up and reaching people. So as I said, I feel the words of Jesus are more relevant than ever. And so our task of reaching the lost continues to be left to just a few, doesn't it? It always seems to have been the case from the beginning of time. There was only those few who were prepared to commit themselves to God, commit themselves to Christ, and to go out and to do what the Lord has asked us to do. And so the cry continues to go out, doesn't it? You know, that there's a labour shortage, a big labour shortage. The fields are ripe, but the labourers are few. And so that's the task ahead of us, isn't it? That we've got to go on a real recruiting campaign, a real recruiting drive to get more labourers, to get more workers into the vineyard, so to speak, that, you know, we can equip them and send them out to reach the gospel. My message tonight is gone fishing. Very spiritual. Very, very. Anyway, so my message tonight, yeah, is gone fishing. And I have a son who's an avid fisherman, and I often envy Ross and some of his catches. He can always outfish me, and so I do get a little envious of him at times. But then I remind myself that I'm not as passionate as Ross is. He is very, very passionate about fishing. And even when we're out in the boat and it's a bit quiet and the fish are not on the job, he'll get a handful of pellets and throw them out, chop up some old fish bait, throw it over, fill up the burley bucket and try and stir the fish into action. And a lot of the times it works. So you see how we have to apply that principle in our lives in reaching. You know, we've got to do new things, try new tricks, sort of thing. But as I said, I'm often just content to wet a line, you know, to throw a line in and just sit there and watch sometimes. And even maybe if I'm fishing on the river, I'll just lay back and go to have a bit of a sleep or a rest or something. But, you know, you have to be passionate about a lot of things. And but when I'm with Ross, I'm happy. You know, if he catches all the fish, well, praise God, we got to feed anyway. So I can rest on his laurels, you know. He can always keep us there. But so I'm always happy in that situation. But as a fisherman, it requires a lot of patience. Any of you go fishing, you know, you got to wait. it's a waiting game pretty often, and it often requires using different methods, different baits, and fishing at different times. And many times, no matter what you do or how hard you try, you don't catch a fish. You don't catch a fish. And so tonight, what I'm going to do is, as we know, some of the disciples experienced this very thing, didn't they? They went out fishing all night, and what happened? They caught nothing. Caught nothing. And so to any fisherman, that's pretty deflating. When you go fishing and you come home and, you know, you haven't got any fish, and it is pretty deflating sometimes. You might come home sunburnt, windburnt, tired, smelling like the bottom of the boat, and you open the door and the answer to the question, did you get anything? And you have to say, we got nothing. So it is pretty deflating. And when we say we got nothing, we start rolling out all the excuses as to why we couldn't catch a fish. You know, there has to be a reason. There's always got to be a reason. But in John's Gospel, John's Gospel, chapter 21 there, if you maybe like to turn to there with me. In chapter 21, reading the first 14 verses there, but speaking here about Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus again appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, who was called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realise that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. I suppose it was a pretty flat sort of a response to the question of Jesus. Haven't you caught any fish? No, they answered. And then he said, throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And Peter heard him say, it is the Lord. When he heard him say that, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing in the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards out. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So there we have that account there of how the fishermen there were out, and they had that encounter with Jesus. But as we know, and as I said, fishing requires patience. And some of Jesus' disciples, they experienced this thing. They were fishing all night and caught nothing. And as I said, it was pretty deflating. So what we see here in this portion of Scripture there, it was a tremendous act of obedience, wasn't it, on the disciples' part. They heeded the words of Christ. They heard the words of Jesus and they done what he said to do. Put your net on the other side of the boat. And so they done that, and as we heard, they got a mighty catch of fish. And again, we're reminded of the words of what Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, where he said, come follow me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. And so we see there that happened. And as Christians, you know, we are always being reminded, aren't we, about where we are to cast our nets and, casting our nets into the water, but more specifically about casting our nets into our community, into the population, reaching the people who don't know Jesus. And so that's the thing. And so my question tonight, you know, are you ready to go fishing? Put your hand up, man, ladies. Yeah, are you ready to go fishing? You know, but so God has given us a great fishing guide, hasn't he? Yeah? Yeah. He's given us a great manual how to catch fish, how to catch people, putting it bluntly. He has filled our tackle box with all the necessary equipment. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's given us the power, the authority to go out and to touch and reach others. He's given us all the equipment we need. We've had all this training, go to seminars. We have Bible studies. We take it all on board, don't we? And so we put that into our tackle box, into that thing. We're given all the necessary equipment to reach people, to touch people for Christ. And so Jesus said, he said, go in my name. Why? Because you believe. Because you believe. He said, I give you all authority to fish to your heart's content, you know. Jesus said, it's out there for you to take, for us to reach. And so we see Simon Peter there telling these friends, I'm going fishing. And apparently this is just after the crucifixion, and I don't know whether all the disciples were despondent or whatever was happening. Maybe Peter just wanted to go out there and get some salt air up his nostrils and clear his head, because they had lost their best friend. And, you know, they were at a bit of a loose end, weren't they, after the death of Christ. And they were still working through all this. You know, why did all this happen, you know, and all that sort of thing. And how were they going to cope without Jesus? And so maybe Peter said, oh, I'm not worrying about that anymore. I'm going back to fishing. But as we know, God's got a plan and a purpose, hasn't he? And so he uses this fishing outing, coming together, meeting the Lord again in this way. So we see there that Peter said, I'm going fishing, and the others couldn't wait to get on board, because after all, they were fishermen, weren't they? And they probably wanted to get back out there and have another go at it, because they'd been ministering with Christ and all that sort of thing for 3 years or so. But, to go out and get amongst the fish again was probably a good idea for them at the time. But as I said, you know, they probably put the sign up, we're going fishing. And but we don't know what happened that night. They went fishing. Maybe it was a low tide, the sea was choppy, it was a full moon, or the wind was coming in the wrong direction. I always say, if it's in the east, you get the least. If it's in the west, you get the best. That's my motto in fishing. And it's usually pretty right, you know. If the wind is coming from the east, look, you better not go fishing. It's just a waste of time. I've experienced it many times, but we still go fishing, even if the wind is blowing from there. But as we know, you know, that night they caught nothing. That night they caught nothing. And so it wasn't that the disciples hadn't tried to catch fish. They toiled all night. And it wasn't that they lacked skill. because that was their trade, wasn't it? That was their job before they became fishers of men. They were fishermen. It was their trade. And they had the right equipment, the boat, the nets and all that sort of thing. And it probably wasn't even the time of day or night that was a problem. And we know that it takes more a trawling and tackle and more than time, you know, in that sort of thing. The fact is, when you're fishing, if you're in the wrong place, none of these things will help you, no matter what sort of bait you got, what sort of tackle you got, what sort of rods or nets or that. The fish ain't there, you're not going to get them, are you? So, you know, it's a lesson to us. We've got to fish where the fish are. And so that. But that's the same for us in all our endeavours, isn't it? In reaching those who don't know Christ. We've got to get where the people are. And it's not just about, like I said, wetting a line, which just means putting the bait on the hook and casting out in the water, then laying down and go to sleep. You're not going to catch fish like that. I've caught them like that, but it's luck more than anything, isn't it? And but casting the gospel or spreading the gospel is serious business, isn't it? You know, and we have to be passionate about that. And there, if we want to see people come to Christ, you know, we have to be really passionate about and to portray, to push that passion on to others, you know, and so they'll say, hey, I want to be a part of this, you know, what you've got. And as a church, it's church, it's God's people, you know, we are be called to be what? Fishers of men. That is, that we are to reach every man, woman and child, you know, across the entire earth. That's God's command to us, the command of Jesus, you know, to reach the lost, those who don't know Christ. And so, you know, we have to be going to more places that we know will give us better opportunities or to entice, which is probably not a good word, but to bring people to know Jesus. And so, as I said, it's not just about wetting a line or being in a church and just sitting here and being content. You know, the command of Jesus is very clear. Make disciples. And that's what we have to do. That's what we have to be about. And we can't do that, you know, if we're not willing to go beyond these doors and testify that Jesus Christ is alive and Jesus lives in me. So we have that. But I don't know about you, but when it comes to fish, I like to have the icebox filled. Right, Gaz? Gaz always stores up a lot of fish. But, you know, for being a fisherman, you know, you always like to have something in the ice chest there. And without the presence of the fish, you know, we're just wetting a line. We're not really serious. And some people, you know, they fish with little concern. If they don't catch, they go fishing and don't catch any fish, well, it doesn't matter, you know. They enjoy the day out. And we do that quite often, you know. You still have a good time when you go out. But, you know, but for others it's a dismal failure. And so it is with the Christians in their witnessing. You know, some people go out and witness and they might win someone to Christ. But if they doesn't, it doesn't matter because they're out there anyway doing what Christ asks us to do. Some may go out and witness all day and that and may not win anyone for Christ and they get very despondent. But we shouldn't get despondent. If we're doing what Christ asked us to do, it doesn't matter as long as we speak the word. And that's all God asks us to do, that we might testify. You know, how will they hear? How will they hear if we don't tell them, you know? So we just have to go beyond the our doors and walls and to reach there. But what we see there, the disciples were simply fishing in the wrong spot, wasn't it? In the wrong place. Their nets were coming up empty. And so many times it's the same for us. We're trying hard, we're doing everything we know, but we're not seeing any fruit for our labour. You might ask, why is this so? Who asked that? Julie something Miller or someone, didn't he? But enough of that. But, you know, you might ask, well, you know, Why aren't I winning people for Christ? Maybe we're not passionate enough. Maybe we're not just expressing ourselves the right way. Or you know, approaching. So like I said, how we use different baits, different lines, all this type of thing. So we have to change our tackle sometime. Do things a little bit different. But, you know, we're there. But often what happens, we're fishing without guidance, aren't we? We're fishing without guidance. Who directed the disciples to the fish? Jesus. What did he say? Fish on the other side. And that's what we have to hear. That's what we have to listen for, you know. And so I feel there that the lesson for us, that we really need to ask the Lord every day, you know, where do you want me to fish today, Lord? Where do you want me to witness? Where do you want me to go? If we're not asking God, you know, where he wants us to go or what he wants us to do, you know, we're not going to get any guidance, are we? We're not going to hit the marks, reach the people that God wants us to reach. So it's only by his presence and power, isn't it, that in our lives that we can have a profound effect in leading someone to come to know him, to know Jesus in a powerful and a personal way. And so we see there, the Lord asked the disciples, have you caught any fish? And they were honest fishermen, and they said, no, we caught nothing. Some blokes will tell you they're caught fish and they haven't. But of course, the disciples, they were godly men, weren't they? And they said, no, we haven't caught any fish. And so I asked tonight, maybe the Lord is saying, asking us the very same question. Have we caught any fish? Have you caught any fish? How many souls have we caught? How many disciples of Christ are we making? And Jesus, as we've seen, he guided the disciples to where the fish were schooling, to where they all were. And he will do the same for us. As when we see with Jesus' eyes, when we look at things the way Christ does, you know, he will show us the people that we who are in need and who we need to reach. And so we have to look through the eyes of Christ, don't we? See things the way Christ seen them. He looked out there and as I just said, look through the eyes of Jesus. What did Jesus say to us? He said, I tell you, open your what? Eyes. And where is it? Open. Lost my place. Open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe for the harvest. They are ripe, you know. So we have to always be aware, always looking for an opportunity, no matter how big or small, whether it's one person or whether it's 1,000. You know, we still have to have the same approach in reaching people for Christ in that way. And so we see there, but I feel fishing is a bit like farming. You see the results in proportion to the work you put into your endeavour. You know, the principle of sowing and reaping, you know, it's the same thing as if we witness well, we'll reap. And so we have to be aware of that all the time. And as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will reap generously. So we have to follow that principle. You know, if we're going to be slack and lazy, well, we're not going to bring people to know Jesus, are we? We're not going to catch people. We're not going to catch fish in that way. But the truth is, the truth of the matter is that when we are not fishing in the right place, our nets will continue to come up empty. So we've got to, it's no good going to Christians or some other church and trying to reconvert them or something, is it? We've got to be contacting people who don't know Christ. And that's our mission. That's what Jesus asked us to do. So we just have to be doing that, putting our nets in the right places so that, you know, The problem is there's no shortage or declining fish stocks. You know, there's a population out there that's ever growing, as I said at the start of my message. But I feel healthy and growing churches, you know, that are penetrating a lost world, are churches that are sensitive to the needs around them. So we have to be very sensitive to the needs of our community and always looking for that opportunity to move in and to help a situation or whatever. And, you know, being sensitive, it often means, you know, you've got to get out of your comfort zone, don't we? Got to get in there, and we've got to drop a few traditions off and things like that to be able to reach people. But it's coming to a close now, but has anyone heard of John Ortberg? He wrote a book, If You Want to Get Wet, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. That's pretty true, isn't it? You know, if we're not prepared to get out of the boat, you know, we're not going to get our feet wet. We're not going to get into where Christ wants us to be. And so I think there, again, it's a lesson for us there. But so, you know, I just challenge us all tonight. Challenge us all, you know, that for us to get off this spiritual sandbar that we're on, you know, well, I think we've been stuck for far too long, you know, in a place, and we're just not reaching out. And so, but to be able to do this, we've got to get into the deeper water, haven't we? To touch people for Christ and to cast our nets down deep. And so this year, I'm really believing for new converts. Amen? It's sort of something that's been on my heart for many days there. But I'm really believing this year for new converts that we're going to reach many people, that more lost souls will come in. So I feel, you know, for this year, for all of us, it just needs to be a greater emphasis on reaching people, witnessing, evangelising, all that sort of thing. We want to see kingdom growth, don't we? And that's what it's all about there, that we can do that and there to reach people. So I think I'll close there, but I'd just like you to stand tonight and just let's claim that this year will be a year for new converts. Amen? That this year we're going to step out into the deep and to reach people more. This year that we're going to have to have a greater emphasis on reaching out and touching people and claiming them for Jesus Christ. Yes. We've got to take back, church. We've got to take back what the devil has stolen away. And the enemy is always out there trying to steal, to take back what doesn't belong to him. And so, Lord, I just pray this night, Father. Lord, there'll become a greater desire upon our hearts, Lord, that we might reach out for you, Father God. Lord, we'll have the zeal and the boldness, Father. We will be zealous in our approach and reaching others who don't know you, Father. Lord, for this year, Lord, will be a year of reaping, a real reaping, Lord, as your word tells us, Lord. There's a time to harvest, to go and reap, to touch people. There's a time to cast our nets into a greater expanse that will cast our nets further into our communities and our families, and we'll touch them in that way for you, Lord. So, Lord, we just pray. Lord, let your spirit be upon us, Father. Lord, you've taught us so much. But, Lord, each one of us here tonight knows you. And so, Lord, we just pray, Father, that we will go forward this week, Lord, just eagerly awaiting an opportunity to witness and to reach someone for you. In Jesus' name, amen.